So what are we doing today? Today is another episode.
Today's episode 7.
Wow, lucky number 7.
Maybe, I mean, it's both good and bad.
A little melancholy. Yeah.
We should probably say hi.
Hi. All right, so what?
Well, we have to say the intro.
Right, of course.
How do we say hi? Welcome in. Welcome in.
Welcome, everybody, to Solo Adventures
Together.
The podcast where we send each other to do various things and then report back and tell each other how it was.
Yes.
This bi-week.
Yeah, we do it bi-weekly.
Where did I send you?
Well, I was supposed to go to some...
Teas with bees
of drinking tea and hanging out with honeybees.
Honeybees. And you were supposed to watch them. They had like these clear beehives. Mm-hmm. Where you can watch them make honey, and then they hang out, and you drink tea, you talk about bees.
Yeah, you keep saying you're supposed to.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it turns out that we were the only person who bought a ticket for the event.
It got canceled.
So it got canceled, and we got refunded.
Yeah. That was one of the more expensive tickets, too, because it included, like, a piece of beeswax, a bunch of teas, Facts about bees. And other stuff, I'm sure, was involved. But it was like a $55 ticket, which does exceed the balance,
the 50.
It exceeds the $50. But last time, it only cost like $22.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a souvenir.
Yeah.
So.
Anyways, it got canceled. Probably because you went over budget.
That's probably why.
They knew. And we are in the midst of moving. We are going to be moving from the LA area to the San Diego area, and so we were not able to find another event.
No, I had one other event, maybe, but then it was like the times didn't line up. It was like too early or too late. There were like it just didn't work out this week.
So
that's the podcast. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Wow, thank you so much.
That's not true.
What?
We were going to talk about. Well, we decided. What if instead of doing a new experience...
We talked about old experiences?
We talked about old experiences.
I said it first. It was my idea.
Yeah, and we can reminisce a little bit about our time in L.A. And...
the journey it took for us to get here.
Yeah. Well, and some of the... You know, because, like, we were long distance for the first year of dating. And so there was a lot of one or the other driving up or down or... flying or different things to visit.
Did we ever fly? Did you fly?
I flew once.
I don't remember. I flew once.
Remember? And that was when you were living with those weird roommates with a disabled cat.
And you picked
me up from the airport with them.
I don't remember that specifically. But, yeah. But for those that don't know, it is a 10-hour drive.
Yeah.
That we did every 6 weeks ish.
6-8 weeks, yeah.
And it felt so normal at the time, like, you know, one weekend would happen, and I'd work 4 days in the week and then have 3 days off. Was my schedule for most of the time that we were long distance, and I would take that last day of work right after I got off at like 10 or 11 at night, and just get in the car and start driving north.
Yeah, that's like what we both would do that, yeah.
Get there at like 8 in the morning.
Sleep for a long time.
Yeah.
And then just figure it out. So I think we should probably start at the beginning. And
so I was born.
Well, no, just how we met and where we met. So right. We both...
You're so good at telling the story. Can you tell it?
Yeah, I'll tell the story.
I like to listen to it every time. I feel like those new details I don't remember every time I hear it.
And then you remember them?
And then I remember them.
Yeah. So both Deuter and I grew up in Humboldt County, but we grew up at kind of opposite ends of the county. Not all the way opposite, but you grew up in the northern part, and I grew up in like the kind of...
Southeast.
Yeah, kind of like the north side of the south part.
Right.
If you cut it in half,
like
I'm like in the middle-ish. But it was far enough away to where, like, we never met.
Yeah.
And you knew my sister.
Yeah, I knew your sister from working at a radio station, and she was running the advertising for the restaurant at the time.
Right.
So that's how I knew her.
That's how you knew her. And you guys became friends. Bert, could you knock it off? I thought you were in the litter box, but you're just scratching at the cat food.
Bert, you got 18 minutes until the food drops, okay?
I need you to chill out.
18 minutes, Bert. Don't look at me like that.
You're scratching a lot. We're trying to record a podcast.
Can you scratch without the claws, maybe?
Thank you.
Thank you. Where were we?
So,
I knew
we
your
were
sister.
Born.
Right. Yeah.
So you knew my sister. Bert, don't you fucking dare.
Don't look at me like that. If you wanted to be a guest on the podcast, you can, Bert. There's no problem.
Get the spritzer.
Oh, come on. You're such an empty threat. You've never actually sprayed it with that thing. He's so far away. He's like.
He's like, damp air. You peasants.
He's smelling the air now. He didn't even move an inch.
Whatever. Anyways.
So we were born.
No, okay. So you had been friends with my sister, and you guys would, like, get together every couple months for coffee or something?
Yeah, we'd sometime, probably every 3 to 6 months, we would get together and have a coffee and, you know, talk about stuff. I don't know. Nothing really that deep.
Yeah.
She did help me one time destroy an entire yard of furniture with a sledgehammer.
Wait, she helped you with that? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Hold on.
You didn't know that?
No.
Well,
what do you mean she helped you? You've told this sledgehammer story ten times, but never once, more than 10 times.
So
but you never mentioned that she was there.
You know, well, she only stopped by.
How did you not mention this?
I don't know. I just remembered. No, in a previous relationship, probably 10 years ago? Probably about 10 years ago, I had a furniture refurbished situation going on with an ex, and we had so many pieces of furniture, probably 100 dressers, desks, tables, bed frame, whatever, anything wood, right? Hundreds of pallets, like, and where I had lived was, there was a yard, so it was filled with a yard, but we lived in a rainy area, so
you can't just leave shit outside.
No, so it was all covered in tarps, and eventually, we broke up for whatever reason, right? And the furniture just kind of sat there for a little while, and it got wet. A lot of it got wet.
Yeah.
So then when I was moving out, I was like, oh, well, what am I going to do with all this? I can't just take it to the dump like this. So I was like, oh, what if I smashed it all? That'd be a fun closure to the relationship. So I started smashing. I took probably 3 or 4 days to smash everything. And, you know, the various times that your sister and I would talk, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm smashing furniture. She's like, oh, I could really use that right now. So she came and, like, for probably 15 minutes, she drove to the house, smashed some stuff, and was like, oh, I feel better. And then she left.
How have you never told me about this?
It didn't seem that significant. I don't know.
Well, I think that's just a wild thing. And she never told me about it. This is the first time hearing about it, like 8 years later.
Yeah, she smashed maybe 2 things. It was fun. Because, like, the wood is, like, kind of water soaked.
It was so wet.
And it was so fun to smash at that time. I don't know what she was going through. We didn't talk, really, about what she was going through at the time.
I don't know what year it was.
That would have been, like 2015, maybe? 2015... Maybe 2014, somewhere around there.
Okay, I could guess. I'm not going to say anything because we're on a podcast, but
sure.
I could guess.
Anyway, so I knew your sister.
Right, you knew my sister, you smashed some furniture.
How did we
with
meet,
her.
Though?
So my sister and I worked together at a restaurant in Eureka, which is like the biggest town. It's like 35,000 people.
That's less than 30,000 now.
That's including like Cutton.
Sure.
Anyways, it's not a big town, but it's the largest one in the county. And we both worked at this restaurant, and she was the manager, and I was kind of the assistant manager at the time. But basically, I waitressed and I bartended and I helped. I did a lot of things at
I
that
should
restaurant.
Mention also the couple of times that your sister and I did get coffee. A lot of times you came up and she was like, because she was always dating someone. So it was never, ever anticipated to be any sort of romance between us.
Right.
And you always came up and she was like, man, you would be perfect for her. Boyfriend right now sucks. I hate him. And like, I'd be like, oh, really? And be like, okay, well, you know. And then it just passed.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that's some important information.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I know nothing about any of this. She's never shared this friendship with me. Anyways, so I had just gotten done telling off some guy that I had gone on like a date with, which mm-hmm. was terrible. And I call it like the worst date that never happened because we had like scheduled a date and then he like canceled on me mm-hmm. in a really stupid way. Basically, we were supposed to go to dinner, but he was someone who ate dinner at like 4 p.m. and I wouldn't eat dinner until like 9 or 10 p.m. So I was like, hey, well, why don't we, you know, can we do 5 p.m. and I'll call it lunch? Like, you know,
that's
and
a
then
nice
you can
compromise.
Have
come on, it's a
right.
nice compromise.
So we have this like date set and then he completely forgets and he eats in advance and then texts me and he's like, hey, what are you up to? And I was like, getting ready for our date. And he goes, oh, I forgot. I already ate. And I was like, bro, you had we were texting. You could have been like, oh yeah, me too. That date in 45 minutes. Yeah, of course. Of course, I'm also getting ready for it. And no, he goes, that he tells me that he didn't, or that he already ate. And I was like, okay, well, like, do you, like, eat a fucking salad, man. Like, I don't, you eat again. Like,
have a drink. Do
have a drink. And then I was like, well, I don't really like the restaurant you had picked because it was Sea Grill, which is like stuffy old people food. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, well, why don't we, you know, scrap that first plan. I, however, am starving because I had just gotten done with some work. And I was really hungry, and I was like, okay, well, how about we go for, like, burgers instead? And I offered the Arcata Pizza Deli. I was like, why don't we go to APD? Because they have these they have burgers. And then he goes, oh, can we do this one in Eureka? I've already driven back and forth between these. It takes 10 minutes
they're
to drive between.
They're 6 miles apart.
It's these neighboring towns that take 10 minutes to drive between.
If that.
And he goes, I've driven back and forth a bunch of times today. Like, and I mean, I was like, dude. And then he asked me if I wanted to go to the beach. And I was like, do I want to go to the beach at 7 p.m. in, like, which, mind you, it was like 50 degrees out.
Yeah, it was probably like, what, October maybe?
No, it was before that. It would have been August, but it was like rainy and drizzly.
Right.
It was not like hot. It was probably 50 degrees out at the beach, and so I was like, okay, no, I don't want to go to the beach. I'm also still hungry. Like, I'm hungry.
Yeah, what are you gonna eat at the beach?
Like, I'm not going to the beach. And I was like, you know what? Let me go get food, and then maybe if I feel like going to the beach, I'll let you know. But I'm gonna go eat food by myself. Anyways, a couple days later, he comes into my work.
Right.
And then he got something at the bar and walked out on his tab, which he had gone on a smoke break and then just forgot to come back. And then, so the bartender's like, weren't you dating this guy? And I was like, not anymore. But then she's like, well, he just walked out on his tab. So I'm calling him like, hey, pay your freaking tab. And he's like, I already paid my tab. And I was like, no, you don't. No, you didn't. And I was like, we have cameras. Like, come back here. I know where you live. Like, come back. So he comes back and he pays the tab and he, like, doesn't tip. And then he's just being a dick. And I was basically like, and when you came in, right as I was basically like, don't come back here. Like, you don't get to come back here anymore. Like, you've pissed me off. You've pissed the other bartenders off. Like, no one wants you here. You're just not welcome, dude. And which, considering it was the only, like, real club in the county, was a loss for him because he was very into the clubbing scene. So,
maybe he goes back now.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, so I had just told him off, mm-hmm. and then I walked to the other, so I had gotten off work, right? And then I walked to the other end of the bar, and I ended up sitting at the bar next to you, and then we started chatting. And you said something along the lines of, oh, you must be your sister's sister. And I was like, yeah, I am. How do you know her? And then you go, oh, I'm friends with her. And I was like, she doesn't have friends. And
you said that out. She doesn't have friends.
It's like, she doesn't have friends. And you were like, well, we like get coffee every 3 months. And I said, okay, yeah, sure, that tracks. Like, I was like, yeah, okay. But then we ended up hitting it off. I don't remember what we talked about. We talked about probably everything.
We got, yeah. It was
so, and I think that was probably like 9 o'clock or so, or 10.
9 or 10, maybe. I remember having food. So yeah. I don't know what time the kitchen closed, but I definitely got like a
because I think I had probably worked earlier in the day.
Yeah.
Like I did baking stuff. Sometimes I would do baking or I'd make the like
it was probably 9. Pasta. 9 or 9:30.
And so on days like that when I would go in early, I would get done early. So probably 9 or 10, whatever. Yeah, and so then we're hanging out. Obviously, the bar has to close at some point. It's 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. In California, except I work there. And so I was like, well, we can hang out until they're closed down. And so we sit down. We're waiting and for the bar to fully close. It's like probably 3:30 at this point when it's actually closed. And they're like, all right.
You can leave.
You got to leave now. And we're like, oh, yeah. And then I think you were like, oh, you mentioned something about food. And so we go to Denny's.
Of course, the only 24/7
spot. Only 24/7 spot. So we go to Denny's and we get like the...
Which, side note, that Denny's is not there anymore.
No, it's not. It's an IHOP now.
It's lame.
I know.
Anyway, sorry.
So we go to Denny's and we sit at Denny's and we get those stupid Sizzler plates.
Right. You have celiac disease, but you also weren't doing dairy at the time or something.
No, I just didn't like the cheese on them.
That must... Whatever. You got like a pretty naked Sizzler.
Yeah, it was whatever. And so then when we went to Denny's, there was actually other people in there. It was like reasonably,
yeah,
like maybe half full. Like it wasn't like popping, but there was like other people there. So we get through our meal at Denny's and then realize that one, it's like 5 a.m. now. Two, no one else in the restaurant. We're like, oh, maybe we should leave. but then neither of us was particularly interested in this impromptu date being over. So I asked you, I was like, hey, have you ever been to the floating docks?
Down by the bay.
Watermelons don't grow there. There are plenty of raccoons, though.
Raccoons?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so me being ever prepared, I had a blanket in my car. And so we drove down over to the bay, and then we sat on these docks, which are meant to, they float up and down with the tide.
Right.
But they were just laying on the mud.
Yeah, it was low tide.
I hadn't like checked the tides or anything. I was just like, this will be romantic.
They were just in the mud.
And they're just in the mud and it kind of stank. And we were like, whatever. So I have this blanket and we sit down and we're like cuddling under a blanket, which was our first day ever meeting each other. So we're cuddling under this blanket and we're just talking and chatting. And there's like these raccoons scampering around. There was like some, unhoused man that
there were a couple of people that walked by, like on their morning walks, too.
And so we sat there and we waited. Well, we just talked.
Yeah.
And then eventually, like, the tide came in and the sun came up. And we did eventually jump around on the floaty dock because they're fun because you can kind of bounce around.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was what I had wanted to do. And then it was probably 8 a.m. when we exchanged phone numbers and a kiss and said our goodbyes for the evening. And then for the next 2-ish weeks, we spent pretty much every single day together. And like you met my mom and I met your parents because you were living with them. And I remember it was maybe a week into things. And I asked you, I was like, if there was any place that you could move to, where would you want to go? Because I was kind of feeling like I was ready to move. I was ready to get out of the hometown situation. And I was curious where you would want to go. And that, a week in, is when you dropped the bomb on me that you were going to be moving.
Was it a week in?
Yeah. And that you were going to be moving to Los Angeles in a week. And I was like, honestly heartbroken because I was like, oh man, this has been so great. I mean, I would say between 4 and 6 days in. It was a ways into it.
Where I always remembered it being at the bar that you asked that, but I guess
no.
Mm-mm.
No, because we were in bed.
Oh.
I remember it very vividly. Mm-hmm. It was a little pillow talk, you told me that it was gonna be that you were gonna be moving to L. You told me L.A. and I said, "Ew, gross."
Yeah, you said, "Ew, gross."
I was wants to move to L.A. and you were like, "Well, what if I told you I am moving to L.A.?" And I was like, "I think I would say when," and then you were like, "September 1st," and I was like, "That's a week away. What are you talking about, man?" And I was really sad, and then we decided to, like, not really, like okay, well, this isn't anything official. Like, we kind of talked about that, because I was like, oh, you're going to meet all these beautiful people in L.A., and whatever. And then...
Still haven't met one beautiful person.
But, yeah. And
Inside Out.
And I think it was after...
No,
we've met some great people.
I know.
It was after about 3 months of us talking every single day on the phone and FaceTime calls, and which, actually, we use Skype.
Remember Skype?
Yeah, we would Skype. Skype calls, hanging out.
And I think we did one or two trips.
Yeah, there was
up and down.
Like, I think you came. Well, and I drove you.
Because I didn't have a car.
No, you didn't have a car. And there was one where I went down for a scuba thing over Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked you up and drove you back home with me, and then you flew back down.
Right.
And it was on that drive home where I was like, this feels pretty official. Like, I know we're long distance, but, like, I don't want anyone else. Like, this feels pretty official. And so that's when we kind of, like, locked it in.
I remember that drive to...
Because we got lost.
In your car, we got lost a couple of times.
We were in this, like, farming area with
right,
no service.
Right, because it took us up and then over across the 20 in a weird way. But I remember driving your car, which was a Honda CR-V from
2001. Yeah.
Stick shift. That didn't do particularly well on the highway at high speeds.
No,
and
you just couldn't
your
drive
driver's side window was broken. So it wouldn't like close all the way or something.
Oh yeah, it would rattle.
And it rattled. And you didn't have a radio.
I had a radio.
No, because you had to like play the Bluetooth. It was like a Bluetooth speaker or something.
Mm-hmm. No, you just couldn't connect your phone to it.
Oh, that must have been what it was.
Because you could play the radio or you could play CDs.
But it wasn't like loud enough or something to hear from the rattling. From what I remember. Gosh, I remember that.
Because it was my old truck that didn't have a radio. I had a portable radio that would play in there. Anyways, so that's the story of how we met.
But wait, didn't you start streaming at that time also?
No, I started streaming in December.
Because didn't we try one time to like stream on the go the drive up at some point?
It was just later. Because this isn't like the first 3 months. I didn't start streaming until Christmas. I streamed on Christmas of 2017 was my very first live stream.
Hmm.
So it would have been after that. But I think it was probably on one of the drives after. Wouldn't it be surprising? But that was our, I guess, combined adventures. But I do have, we wanted to talk about some of our solo adventures that happened. But now people got the backstory, you know.
I kind of like hearing about the backstory.
I know, the backstory is good. Well, what I was going to say is because during that time, during that year when we were long distance, one, neither of us really had the money to fly very often because it was really expensive. And flying at that time, you still had to have a layover in San Francisco.
Yeah. It was least $300 round trip.
Well, and it was like
each person
marginally faster.
And more of a headache.
And more of a headache.
Because you had to get to the airport.
Well, and then you had to be, like, careful about what, like, toiletries you bring and, like, all those kind of things. And I couldn't, like, bring down as much because if you add a carry-on, it just gets, like, so expensive. So we would drive because it was really, at that time, only about 2.5 hours longer to drive than to fly with a layover.
I'm trying to remember when I got a car.
It was after...
It was right when I had moved to Koreatown.
You know what? I think it was when I drove you home for Thanksgiving, because it was after your motorcycle accident. Mm-hmm. And maybe you didn't fly back down. Maybe you drove the Prius back down. That would make sense.
That would make sense. The Prius that we currently use now.
That we currently use now.
What a great car.
Because I think maybe, yeah, because like I definitely drove you home. Mm-hmm. If you drove the Prius back down, that makes a lot of sense for when that got back down here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that would make a lot of sense. That would make a lot of sense.
There was one time when I was driving down in that Honda CR-V, and I hit a piece of tire
in the road.
And it was like...
I think we were on the phone. When it happened.
I think we were on the phone when it happened, yeah. And I told you, I was like, oh, dang. I just like, because it was at night.
Right.
It wasn't that late. It was probably,
I think, seven or eight, maybe.
It was 7 or 8, but it was in the winter. So it was like
dark. It was in Los Banos,
yeah. And so I had hit something and I didn't really think anything of it until I went to get gas. And there's this gas station that has a taco truck I really like. Mm-hmm. And because we were going back and forth so often, and I had been driving up and down for scuba stuff, I was like, oh, I like this taco stand. Unfortunately, the taco stand was closed because I got there too late. But when I went to pull off to go on the exit to go to the gas station, all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, car is handling like crazy. I had been driving for a little while post-thump, but I was just driving on the Interstate 5, so it's just straight. And I go to pull off, and I realize that something is wrong. I have no power steering. And so I am cranking on the wheel to get anything to turn, and I'm like, oh, no, what's happened? And I get some gas, and I call you, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like, this is happening. I'm going to try and sort it out. And so I drive to Los Banos, which is, like, across the highway.
Yeah, I was, like, on the computer finding a place where you can go.
Right. You were, like, looking up somewhere for me to go because it was really hard for me to look stuff up at the same time. I didn't really have that great – I didn't have, like – good service to look it up. Like, I had enough service to call you, but it was still,
right.
Like, I couldn't look things up. And so I'm like, okay. And so I went to an O'Reilly's, mm-hmm. right? And I'm like cranking the wheel to get there. And I get to this O'Reilly's and I'm like, hey, like, I told him, I was like, I think, because you were also trying to figure out what the problem might be. I was like, I think the problem is that maybe I'm, like, I have no hydraulic fluid for my power steering. I'm not sure. Like, you know, I was like, do you guys know of a mechanic around? Like, do I have to spend the night in Los Banos? Like, what's going to happen, right? And they come out, and this guy is he's real sweet. He looks at my car. He gets under there, and he's like, he's like, I can see that the belt for the power steering has just come loose. Whatever you hit knocked it loose. It also knocked the belt for your AC loose.
Oh.
So both of those. And he was like, I can replace the power steering belt, but to get to the... He's like, I can do that, but to get to the other one, it's going to be a real pain. So you'll have to get that fixed, mm-hmm. you know, later. And he manages to get the belt that goes back to the power steering. He got that put back on. And I was like, freaking amazing. And I was like, can I pay you? And he told me no, that he wasn't allowed to take any payment as a mechanic because he worked at the O'Reilly's. And so he was like, no, I really can't. I'm not allowed to take payment for this kind of thing. He's like, you know, I'm just happy to help you out. And I was like, well... I have all this jam.
I forgot about the
because
jam.
Because I had to bring to you, I had this homemade huckleberry jam. Because right. It was one of the things that I had made for you pretty early on in the relationship, and you really loved this jam. And so I had all this homemade huckleberry jam, and I was like, I have this jam. Can I give you some jam, maybe? And he's like, okay. And so I give him like a jar of huckleberry jam and this blackberry sauce that I would make. That was a really good blackberry sauce. Mm-hmm. And I gave him one of each. And I was like, thank you so much. Like, you've saved me, one, so much money. And I don't have to spend the night here and all the things. And I don't have to pay for a tow. And yeah. And then I left him like a really good Yelp review, Google review, whatever.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And they were just
so nice. It was like
so
the first
nice.
Thing you did when you got...
Yeah, when I got back was I made sure to leave like a review talking about specifically how those employees were so nice. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I gave him jam and made it down to L.A.
Because Los Banos was about, what,
two and a half hours? Yeah.
You're most of the way there. But, man, I remember that. It was a very stressful time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jeez. I don't know, you had mentioned my motorcycle accident, and I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Because we were, well, I mean, I guess I was remembering it a couple of days ago, because we started packing up to move out of here.
Yeah, we found your motorcycle jacket.
We found my motorcycle jacket that had, like, the big road rash scrapes on it. And I'm curious, I don't remember, I don't think I kept the helmet. Because, I mean...
No,
I mean,
it's under the bed.
Is it under the bed?
Yeah.
Because I had two helmets, and I think I got rid of one. But I think I still have the one that has the big scrape on the side from when I slammed my head on the ground. But, man, that was a interesting moment also, because I had a brand new motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. What was it?
It was a Yamaha FZ09.
I remember it was weird because I had like three cylinders or something.
I think it was a three-cylinder motor. Because
like you said, it was like an unbalanced thing and then it like had...
Well, it had a lot of torque. It was a 900cc motorcycle. Like a naked sports bike. And it was the first motorcycle I'd bought new. And
I think it was what, like $11,000 or something?
Something like that, yeah. And I remember being hesitant to buy it because I didn't make that much money at the time.
No, because you were working that crazy job.
That crazy job that I had to get up at 3 a.m. to go drive to Culver City and work at this like science hair washing drug testing facility.
Yeah.
Where I had to, like, put solutions on hair, and then it gyrated in a little machine, and that was that's a whole different lifetime ago, man. That was the first job I had.
But you were only getting paid, like, $12 an hour.
$12 an hour, and I didn't want to be there.
No, and you were there from...
4 a.m. to noon.
4 a.m. to noon. And because, like, the scientists would come in at, like, 9 or 10 a.m.
Yeah, to
or
work
something.
On what you started.
Right.
Yeah, and there was all this testing you had to do for all the drugs and all the hairs that were in these little vials, and you had to put solutions in them and all this paperwork. I never got the hang of it. But I did find a way to, like, which I don't know if it was accurate or not, but I definitely rigged the system to line up because you have to have, like, a couple of different timers going on at the same time for washing. So I, like, rigged it in a way to where they all lined up instead of staggered. So I got to take longer breaks. And then they caught on to that. And were like, they shouldn't be lining up like that. I'm like, oh, well, I just set them like this. Like, I was outsmarting the system in a way where I could just go sit down and let them all work at the same time. They didn't like that. They didn't like me being more efficient. Because I'd get done early.
Right, and then you'd leave.
And then I'd leave. And they'd be like, oh, you got to do the whole 8 hours. And I'm like, well, no, I don't want to. But then I realized how much I was getting paid, and then I couldn't pay for the motorcycle. Like, I mean, I could, but I didn't have that much money.
No, it was like motorcycle or food.
Right. and then, like, one day, I'm driving from work back home, which is, like, on 5 different highways. It's, like, 20 miles. And it's during rush hour at, like, lunchtime at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm riding in traffic in the carpool lane going, like, 30 miles an hour. And this car, white car, like, pulls out of the carpool lane over the double white lines And I'm like kind of, I'm like, they're like, we're like right, well, you can't see, but we're like almost right next to each other, and pulls ahead and pulls out and probably doesn't see me. And I don't have enough time to brake. So I like run into the back of him and the bike slams to the ground and I fall off the bike and black out a little bit.
Which, thank God you didn't get hit by someone else.
I know. I ended up one lane over, like, and the bike ended up two lanes over because apparently someone told me, one of the bystanders said the bike flipped like three times. Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
At 30 miles an hour.
Yeah. Which, thankfully, it was only 30 miles an hour.
I know. I know. And I didn't get any major injuries. I had a little cut on my wrist. My shoulder, I had a big bone bruise on my shoulder for a long time. And the bike was totaled, obviously. And an ambulance came. Ambulance took me to the hospital. And then they cut all my clothes off and checked for internal bleeding.
Except your pants.
Oh, they kept my pants on, yeah. Well, they checked the organs for internal bleeding and all that.
Because I think you told me you asked them to not cut your pants off.
I don't remember that. But that does sound like something I would say.
Well, because you were like, I like these pants. Like, if you don't have to, it was
probably one
off.
Of my only two pairs of pants right, I had. Like, these are my, I only have these pants. I'm poor. And then they cleared me. And the first person I called was you.
Right.
And this is like 3 months into our relationship. Yeah, and you're like, did you call your mom yet?
Because we met in mid-August, and you crashed your bike at like the end of October.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
I didn't even get the new license plates for it, for the bike. I remember they came in the mail like 2 weeks after the bike was totaled, and I was like, oh, man.
It was a blessing in disguise, though, because...
It was, because it was their fault. It was a lot to work with the insurance agency because it was a rental car, and they were Brazilian. They were tourists, so like they didn't know what to do. And then the company was based in like Michigan or something, so I had to deal with them. But eventually, I basically just took Uber to work and back, and that was reimbursed.
Yeah, they paid your Uber. They paid you to Uber to work and. Mm. Everywhere that was considered, like, necessary.
Right, and I kept records of everything. They paid all the medical bills.
But it was, like, a month.
It was a month.
A month that they paid for you to Uber to the grocery store.
And it was, like, $20 every time.
Yeah.
And then, so they paid off the motorcycle. Mm-hmm. And gave me the money to buy a new one, which I then did not buy a new one.
No.
Because I was scared to ride a motorcycle in L.A.
For good reason. Also, I think we... you and I both decided that maybe a motorcycle in general was a bad decision, but also you couldn't afford it.
Right.
And so, like, maybe we don't need to, like, go in debt again. And that was right when your parents wanted to get a new car. And so to validate getting a new car...
They, like, take our old car.
They gave you the old car, which at the time was not that old. It is old now. At the time... it was only about 5.5 years old.
Right. It's a 2012.
Yeah.
So it would have been, like 2017, 5 or 6 years old.
5 or 6 years old, yeah.
And man, it's still running strong. And that car's been in an accident, too.
Two accidents. Yeah.
What was the second accident?
Because there was, like, the...
Did you get in an accident with it?
No, we were... There was the one time... Because I think you got into where you T-boned someone that was illegally making a left-hand turn.
Right. They made me run into them.
They made, yeah.
And then my glasses flew off, and I was like, oh, my God, what happened to my face? What happened to me? I can't see anything. And luckily, there was a tow truck, like, directly behind me, and they're like, hey, what's up? I know a guy, saw everything. Don't worry about it. I got you. And so they dealt with the insurance. They, like, went to the place. They dealt with everything. The whole front end of the car got rebuilt.
We got a new battery. For a Prius?
For a Prius.
Which I think that would have been in 2018 or 20... No, yeah. We were living here. No, it was when we were moving into this apartment. Yeah. Because we got...
Then we had a rental car.
We had the rental, like, crossover.
Yeah.
That, which we
it
moved...
It was a Mazda.
Yeah, but it was a Mazda and then a bunch of letters and numbers. It didn't have, like, a real... It was, like, an X12.
Yeah, but it was, like, an SUV.
But we moved
everything in that car.
In that car, because we got the
that's
the
right,
Mazda.
Because it had so much space.
And it had way more space, so we didn't have to hire a truck to move.
Yeah.
It just, you know, we took a couple of trips, but it was in town, so it wasn't that bad.
Right. It was just every time we came over here, because we worked over in this side of town.
Yeah.
So then we'd bring over a load of stuff.
Yeah, because we slowly moved in over the course of, like, probably 3 weeks.
No, that, I remember that repair company or that auto shop, they were like, yeah, we could have declared it totaled, but we made it just a little bit less than totaled and replaced everything.
Oh,
instead.
Yeah, they milked it.
They got new everything.
Only benefited us. There was like a hairline crack, and they completely replaced the entire windshield.
The hood, the battery, the front bumper, the lights,
everything.
Interior stuff, like everything inside the front of the engine, they replaced, and it wasn't totaled.
Yeah. And I think it's because the catalytic converter was fine.
Yeah, because that's in the
back. Yeah, and that's like the most expensive part. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, car's great.
Car's great. Yeah, car's great. Yeah. Because what was the second accident then? I don't remember.
No, because I thought somebody clipped the front corner of the car while you were driving. And we had to get another. But I thought that was before.
Mm.
Because somebody hit the front corner, and then you had to get a headlight replaced. I was pretty sure that happened before I moved down.
I don't remember that one. I just remember that you backed out of the driveway and knocked the mirror off that one time.
I did. Yeah.
And we've scuffed up the bumpers left and right. Yeah. And we think a bike.
Oh, yeah. Somebody on a bike definitely ran into the back of the car.
Yeah, like, so that
the back
dent still.
Passenger side, yeah, there's a long and standing dent there.
Yeah.
But
although it's probably made it a lot less enticing to break into.
To break into, yeah.
There's a dent here. You got scuffs
although
over here.
I do
it's not
get
a clean car.
In parking lots all the time, getting out of the car, and there's these guys that like drive around in parking lots and be like, "Hey, I can take the ding out for you," and I'm like, "And I like it, thank you."
It's so funny because, like, I mean, I know why they don't approach me. They approach you because they think you're more naive.
Right.
They're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, maybe if you don't know the right person.
I could do it for $150.
Yeah. And you're like, wow, really? I could do it and not, I don't want to.
No, yeah. There was one time our friend Tay was visiting with us. And this guy rolled up. And, like, she, you know, we're walking together. We're walking out from the grocery store to the car. And this guy rolls up. And I was about to say, I like the dent, leave me alone. Because he's like, hey, I just wanted to, and I was so close to being like, no, I like the dent. Like, I don't want your help, go away. And then he just starts hitting on my friend Tay, right? He's like, hey, like, you know, he's like talking about how pretty she is and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, sorry. Like, I was so close
no, that's
to
fine.
Ruining
it. That's fine,
it.
Yeah.
But
how did she react to that? I don't.
She was like, what's that? She was like, maybe a little booty call. I'm like in LA. Why not? Like, she's, you know, 30, flirty, single, mm-hmm. ready to mingle. I don't know. I don't know if she ever called him or anything.
But, oh, did they exchange numbers?
Yeah, they exchanged numbers.
Oh, no way! I didn't know it went that far.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was cute. So.
That's funny. I'm fine with the dent. Leave me alone.
I felt so jaded in that moment.
No, I just want to hit on your friend. Go away. I don't need your auto repair recommendations. I don't care if your brother knows how to fix a car. No. I just wanted to talk to your friend. Get out of here. Your truck's got more dings on it than mine does.
Go away. Yeah, that was a good time. I don't know. Did you want to, was there any other, I don't know. I guess some of these are solo adventures and some of them are us talking about things that we did together. You know, I think, because you talked about your hair washing job.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much all of the jobs, no, except for the one time I worked at a vintage store, briefly. All the jobs I worked on here, aside from that one, was all restaurant jobs.
Mm.
But I had, I don't know who worked in more restaurants. We probably worked in about the same.
We could probably tally it at some point.
But,
I couldn't think of it right now.
There was one restaurant I worked in, and I only worked there for 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a crazy 3 days. It was this, I'm just going to say it because, like, they should be closed. They have way too many health code violations.
Well, we haven't been there since then. It's true. We don't know if it's any better or worse.
I don't know. I haven't been there since January of 2022.
They are still allegedly open.
Technically open, even though they look closed all the time.
It's a building that just looks closed.
So it's N10.
Uh-huh.
Or number 10.
N10, I think, is what people call it.
But I think it's like it's meant to be like number 10. Anyways, it's...
Right, like the striker of a soccer team.
A striker of a soccer team. Because it was owned by Ronaldo something? Or Alejandro?
He was an Italian soccer
player. An Italian soccer player.
Not Ronaldo.
I don't
Ronaldo's
know.
Ronaldo's from Portugal.
I don't remember what his name was. Anyways, an Italian soccer player owns this restaurant. And it's an Italian restaurant. And they were hiring for a bartender, but they really wanted a bar manager. But they weren't sure if they wanted a bar manager. And so they were like, if you do a good job, we'll move you up. Which is always a red flag.
Always a red flag.
Which I 100% was like...
You went in there with like 1 foot out the door already.
Right. I was like, I'm curious, but I don't.
This is just for the plot. Right.
Exactly. I was like, I'm not working right now. So like, why not? Like I had left my previous job at like the end of September the year before. Mm-hmm. So it was like, probably like, let's just make it easy and say October of 2021, I had left my job. And I had taken those couple months off. And then I was like, okay, I'm ready to find some work. But I was kind of going to be picky
right
about where I wanted to work. And so I was willing to try things. And some of it, I just wanted to get out of the house, kind of regardless of whether or not it worked out. So I go and I do this interview. And I was like, this place is a mess. Like a hot mess. And like the manager that was there had only been there for 6 months. And he was also very Italian and like clearly didn't know like that much about restaurants in general. There was a lot of red flags.
He probably knew a guy.
I guess. I don't know. And he was telling me that. And I was like, okay, so you want me to be the bar lead, but you're not going to give me a title. And he was like, no. And I was like, okay, well, how is the staff going to know that I'm in charge if you don't tell them I'm in charge? And
good question. Good question.
Why would they listen to me? And he was like, well, you just have to convince them to listen to you. And I was like, that's not how it works. So already I was very much... Well, and he's sitting there telling me about how, like, terrible all the employees are and that, like, they're, like, the employees are bad. And I was like, well, how much experience do they have? And then he basically says that they're all completely untrained bartenders and they don't know anything. Okay. And the person who's been there the longest has only been bartending for, like, 4 months. And I was like, okay, are you sure the employees are bad or do they just need some guidance and help? Because I don't know if these are actually bad employees. Like, you sound terrible. Like, you sound like the problem, sir. But I don't know if it's the employees that are the problem. I was like, well, let me see.
Give it a shot.
I gave it a shot. I decided, I was like, why not? We'll give it a go. And so on the first day, I'm there, and it is completely dead. There's maybe, I think I made maybe 3 or 4 drinks that whole night. And it was just me and one other bartender on. And I'm talking with her, and she's like telling me how the manager sucks and this, that, and the other. And we're looking around, and I'm going through all the refrigerators, and I'm looking through stuff. And I was like, this is filthy. Mm. I start going through and getting rid of expired stuff. I'm throwing away gallons of expired juices.
Oh, God.
I'm like, they did
bought not. Bought in juices.
Bought in juices. Gallons of expired bought in juices, like the Pine Co. ones or whatever.
Right. The ones that come in gallons.
Yeah, big jug. And I found out that the bar staff did not know that you can take apart a soda gun for cleaning.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, why would a soda gun need to be taken apart for cleaning?
Mold and scum and filth and all sorts. So basically,
so a soda gun, that it's got all the buttons.
It's like the, normally it's like a red or a black handle, and it's got the buttons.
Depends
and the
on Coke or Pepsi.
Right. And the bartender pushes the thing, and then it fills a cup with whatever, right?
With the liquid that they push the button.
And it's got a little nozzle on it, like on the ones that are on, like, a soda machine.
Sure.
Right? It's got a little nozzle on it, and you can take that nozzle off. And it is standard practice. It is required by health code that it gets cleaned every day.
Every day.
Every day it needs
to
be cleaned.
Soaked, wiped, sanitized.
Yeah. So what the typical practice would be to take it apart, to soak it in a bucket of hot water.
Sure.
And then, and you know, like really soak it. And then you soak it in a bucket of sanitizer. Mm-hmm. And then
you wrap it.
And then you, and then you let it air dry. And then you wrap it with plastic wrap. So if there is any little bit of, sugar still left on it, it won't attract, like, flies or ants or anything like that. Because gnats and, like, flies in particular
drain flies
are a big problem for bars. And they're really, especially in L.A., they're really hard to get rid of. But like, just anywhere, they're hard to get rid of. But yeah,
so
they did not
moldy,
know that.
Moldy
so
soda
it was
gun.
Just black. The inside was just... So every drink that they were making with it was just coated with mold,
basically.
Filth, scum.
God, that's one of my biggest pet peeves. Like,
super
I was
gross.
So anal about cleaning soda gun.
No one cleaned refrigerators there. So every
like the
single...
racks or anything?
Like any part of it. In the tracks of the refrigerator doors, just mold. Just black scum everywhere. So I am going through and I'm like losing my mind, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like losing my mind. I'm like, hey, can you show me what you guys normally do for this? There is no normal anything. They don't know any cleaning procedures. They don't have anything in place to do it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. On the back bar, they had probably 3 or 4 times the amount of glassware that they needed.
What was the variety of glassware like?
Well, I mean, there was like your regular, like there was a, I don't know, this was the craziest one. This is a restaurant.
Right.
It's a restaurant first and foremost. It's not really, like they have a bar, but it's not super bar focused. It's not like a club. Why this restaurant that could seat probably
maybe
80 to 100 needed 60 shot glasses? Is beyond me. I found multiple trays out of shot. So everything's covered in dust, too, because obviously it's not
getting
used.
They
never get used. And so
Who does shots at an Italian restaurant?
I don't know. Just limoncello all day. And they have way too much of that. They've got way too many single rock glasses. They've just got so many single rock glasses. Plenty of double rocks. And not enough highballs, of course. And not enough martini glasses. Because there wasn't enough room for the martini glasses.
Of course. Well, you need all the shot glasses.
Because they had all the shot glasses.
You need all the shot glasses.
So day one that I was there, one, I taught the girl who was supposed to be training me, I taught her how to make a Long Island. Because that came up, and she had never made one before.
Who orders a Long Island iced tea at an Italian
restaurant? I don't know. And basically, I just kind of cleaned everything on day one. And then day two... I was like, okay, you've got all these shelves up here that are filthy. And the back bar doesn't make any sense because nothing is reachable. And I went through and I talked to the manager. I was like, hey, can I rearrange some stuff to make it a little easier to work? Like this is just set up poorly. And he's like, sure, whatever. So I just start pulling all of this extra glassware because I found boxes that's supposed to be, like, that they were for.
Okay.
So I put all the glassware in boxes and I rearrange the whole back bar so that it actually makes sense so that the liquor that you use most frequently is actually next to the well because it was on the far end.
Oh, good.
For no reason.
Right.
Anyways, rearrange that, get that all cleaned up, and I clean the whole back bar, make sure all the glassware is actually clean, everything that's out, because it was all dusty. And then I get sent home early because it's so slow, right? So I talk with them on the next day, Friday. So that was a Wednesday.
Day three.
I worked Monday, Wednesday,
now,
and because we were streaming, right?
Right.
And so now Friday, I go in and I talk with them, and it turns out that Wednesday night after I left, it'd been super dead. The owner came in with 10 of his friends, forced the entire staff to stay on 2 hours past the closing time, and did not tip.
That's wild.
And I was like, and I found that out
Friday,
right when I got there. And I was like, I will not, I can't work here.
So what happened on Friday?
So let's see, what else was happening?
I don't think you stayed the whole time.
And this was crazy. No, I did stay the whole time because I got there on Friday. And I'm like asking around and I'm trying to figure out who was supposed to be training me because it was supposed to be my last training shift because nobody had trained me on the computer system yet.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out the computer system.
The POS.
And do you remember that was when you came in with our friends Aaron and Lindsay and you three sat at the bar?
No, I didn't come in with them. It was just them two. And
remember,
I remember you telling me that, like,
because they lived in the neighborhood.
The computer system was broken.
The computer system went down because the power went out.
Right, the power went out. And they kept serving.
Which, I mean, there wasn't a lot that we could do, except we were calling. So here's the other thing. So I show up, and the manager isn't there. He doesn't show up for a while. No one is there to train me. No one's there to show me anything. So I just start setting up the bar with the expectation that they're going to be there maybe 30 minutes later or whatever. No one ever shows up. It's just me on a Friday night running the bar 100% solo because he forgot to tell me that he took the other person off the schedule or that they had called out or something. And I was like,
ridiculous.
I will not be working here again. Insane, ridiculous. The manager leaves at like 7 o'clock.
Good time for a manager.
So he leaves. I find out that there's no cash in the building. Even though they accept cash, you can't give change. So the friends that I had at the bar, our friends, they're trying to pay in cash. They didn't actually bring a card with them. And then eventually, like, I ended up paying for their stuff, and then they Venmo'd me, is I think what ended up happening, because like I couldn't take a cash payment. The whole thing was so stupid. And eventually, so they leave. The power goes out. And that was why we couldn't, like, they couldn't pay in cash, but then the power went out, so they couldn't pay with a card either.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get the manager to come, because he lives 2 blocks away from the restaurant.
Wait, really?
And his power should have been out, too. And he doesn't come back to the restaurant. And so we're there like, okay. And we're trying to figure it out, and eventually the power comes back on, but all of the like credit card systems are down, and we're trying to close out all these tables because we aren't sure if the power's going to stay on because there was this big storm happening.
I remember that.
So we're closing out all these tables, and yeah, the owner or the manager won't come back. I had already decided that I wasn't going to work there.
No, you were not
like,
coming back after
I was,
that day.
No, and like at the beginning of that Friday, mm-hmm. like at the very start, I was like, I'm never working here again. Like, this is stupid. And the only reason I stayed was because the other employees were so sad. They were like, oh, okay. And I told them, I was like, I'll stay on through tonight. But they actually really liked me. They were like, you're the first person who's ever done anything.
Yeah, the like, first competent
the
person.
The first competent person we've had. They're like, it's already better. Like, please don't go. And I was like, I'm so sorry.
You're like,
I can't.
There's no hope for
there's
you.
There's no hope. I was like, if you guys need recommendations, I can give you recommendations for other restaurants. Like, please get out of here. Go save yourself. Like,
God, I forgot that. Yeah, you had the 3 day stint there.
But yeah, and then I just told him, I was like, I won't be coming back. I expect my check.
I expect my check right now. Give it to me.
Yeah, because I did actually do a lot of work I was there. Like, I really made major, and that was part of it too. Is everybody was like, "You were only here for 3 days, and it's so much better. Like, please don't go." Like, the staff liked me. It was just the manager that was, and the owner. I couldn't work for an owner that
disrespected their employees like that.
And that
ridiculous.
Was the big thing. That was the big thing because like I was already like, I don't want to do this, and then they told me that the owner made them stay 2 hours late and didn't tip them. And I was like, I will never.
Because he's already eating for free, man. Yeah. It's his restaurant.
Yeah.
Never. Never. Jeez. And they're like, we don't understand why the business is failing. I'm like, oh, really? Really? You don't understand why the business is failing? Oh.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Fun times.
You know, there's so many other stories we could share.
I know.
There's
so many.
Like the first time I got my first restaurant job or like my last restaurant job. But, I mean, maybe we should do this again at some point.
I think you know, because a lot of times when we do the event, it's maybe not like a whole hour's worth of discussion.
It depends. Yeah, it depends.
So I think maybe we could talk about things and sprinkle in a little bit of our time. Yeah.
Let us know if that's something you'd like. I mean, a little story here and there
about
how we got to where we are.
And this was really fun. Yeah. I really
I feel like
happy.
These next 2 weeks are going to be only reminiscing, and it's going to be so sad. We're going to be so sad.
I know. It's very sad. It's
very, a lot of
memories
it's in this
so
house.
Bittersweet. It's so melancholy because we really... You know, this is, like, this apartment feels more like home than home does.
Yeah.
You know, than visiting with your parents is great. Visiting with my family north is great.
It's not.
But it doesn't feel like home anymore.
Yeah. And that's the plan with the new space, is to make it feel as home as quick as possible.
As quick as possible. I want it to be home.
It's going
to
be so home.
Yeah, so home. All right. Well, thanks so much for listening. And thank you especially to our early listeners on the fourth wall. They're hearing this a week in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're curious and you want to see the video from this, which is just us sitting on the couch and having a discussion.
Hey, but the one after that, we'll be in a different spot. Maybe we'll have more cameras.
It's true.
We'll have more fun.
And if things are picking up with the podcast, then maybe we'll do it every week. Who knows?
That's true.
Who knows?
That's true.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see you in 2 weeks for the next episode of Solo Adventures Together.